Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi. Let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
A tremendous Saturday to you, my friend. My name's Sam Crowley, host of the Every Day is Saturday show, streaming on iTunes as well as everydayissaturday.com. Just go there, click on the podcast button, and away we go. Hey, by the way, if you haven't been to everydayissaturday.com, what a tremendous website. Put your name and email in so we can stay in touch with you and inspire you on how to make every day Saturday. No more work days for you, my friend. Hey, by the way, cheap plug of one of the greatest entrepreneurial books ever written. No More Work Days, The Journey to Making Every Day a Saturday. Just go to nomoreworkdays.com. NoMoreWorkDays.com. Get yourself the free audio chapter or written chapter, your choice, whichever one you want. But make sure you get it, grab it, absorb it, and start learning it, man. It is an awesome way to live life when you just say, hey, we're doing it. We're doing it. We don't ask for permission. We just get up and we get going. We don't wait for all the lights to be green. We know we don't have to be perfect to get started, but you got to be started to be perfect, right? All right, enough of the cliches. It's Sam Crowley back with part five of Living a Life of Significance. Man, I've really enjoyed this all week long. We've done a different podcast every single day on how to live a life of significance. Significance. I love stuttering. God, I wish I still stuttered. I would love to have the podcast being just like the stuttering guy, you know? But unfortunately, I kicked my stuttering habit in my teenage years, and now I'm just left with a shell of what I used to be. So anywho, we got a great show. I'm going to share a Saturday story with you that's really powerful. Talk about some hookers and blow back when I was 20 years old down in West Palm Beach. That's always awesome, right? And we will get right into it. What a way to lead off the show, man. I'm such a boring Midwesterner guy, but, man, I had some fun. I never actually did cocaine, so let me just – I don't want to give the ending away right now. But I've actually never tried a hard drug. Don't really have an interest in trying a hard drug. And it's kind of like that modeling we talked about last week. You know, when you see other people that have done some pretty wild things to themselves and hurt their body, hurt their brain, hurt their family – You don't really want to do that to yourself or your family. So, yeah, I don't think anything like that, any hard drugs are in my future. You know, you're talking to a guy that's in bed at 9 o'clock every night. My friends give me so much grief, man. I'm so much grief. Now, I'm in my defense, I'm up at 4:30 most days, okay? Sleeping in for me is 6:30. I sleep in till 6:30, and literally I feel like that half the day's gotten away from me. But, yeah, my buddies will text me. People will say, hey, let's jump on a webinar. Can you do – oh, yeah, it's 8 o'clock. You're in bed. Sorry. Click. Hang up the phone. But, hey, that's who I am, man. That's who I am. It all started back when I was in a job, and I wanted to just change. I think I talked about this on one of the podcasts. I know I brought it up in my book. You know, I just made a shift in 1991. I was in telephone sales. I said, I want to get promoted. Oh, I know I talked about this last week in the show. I remember talking about it. I said, I just want to get promoted, you know? So what's everybody doing? How are the people, the sales reps that are making the most money? What do they do? Oh, they get in early, they're organized, and they're out the door. We had flex time. You can come in anywhere from 7:30 till 9:30 and leave anywhere from 4 to 6. I was getting in about 8:30 or so. I mean, I was 22 years old, man, something like that. I mean, 23, I didn't care. I was up till midnight, you know, watching NBA basketball or, you know, whatever was on during the weeknight, college football, and I wouldn't go to bed till midnight or whatever. But I started getting in at 7, got home at 4 in the afternoon. I was like, wow, there's like a whole other world that opens up at 4 in the afternoon. So you're telling me all I got to do is come in at 7, get my hour lunch and get out of there at 4. That's great. Sign me up for that. And you know what? My productivity went through the roof. I made more money. And so I just figured I'd start waking up earlier. Here's the difference. And here's the craziest thing about all this is that when I was when I teach people, they go, Sam, you don't understand. I love this. People are like, you don't understand. I have a job. I'm like, oh, really? Oh, geez. Smack myself on the forehead. What's a job? I never had one of those since I was 13 years old with a paper out. Please enlighten me what it's like to have a job. I know you have a job. You're telling me you can't wake up an hour earlier, get to the office, use their internet, use their computers, use their printer? Man, you know what I used to do? We had these three-ring binders in the storage room. I mean, really all over the place. We wasted paper and supplies like it was nobody's business, man. And you know those stupid three-ring binders. Every office has them. You know, they've got your handbook that you put together. You go through procedures, HR crap, and all this stuff that's in there. And so I would just take a bunch of those binders that literally just had dust on them, and I went with the rings, the three rings. I opened them up, and I threw all the paper in the garbage can. And I went on the internet, and I started printing out ebooks on how to market online. This was 2005. And I would literally run the printer from 4 in the morning till 6 in the morning. Nobody else got in before 6 o'clock. And it would color, tricolor, black and white. I would print hundreds and hundreds of pages. And then I would just go right in the three-ring binder. So, whoop, mark it on the front. Internet marketing 101. Put it back on my little cubicle shelf. Nobody knew what it was. And looked at the same binder. It was like red or blue, whatever, white. And that's how I learned how to market on the internet. So I would just go into the company, use their fax machine for business, the printer, everything. You know, everything. Used all their stuff. Do it. Get up early. Go into the office if you got a job. But don't tell me or anybody for that matter. Don't tell any entrepreneur. We've all made the sacrifice of being in a job while we were building a business. So that actually, having a job can be the best place to be. You don't got to worry about money coming in. You've got your health insurance. You've got your retirement money that they take out, whatever it is, you know, your 401k, pension, all that stuff. Get your dental. Your family's taken care of. The stress is off. I know it's not the money you want to be making, but look, let me tell you something. When you quit your job, the money you're making now goes to zero. Okay? So if you're making 50 grand a year, you're like, well, I should be making 150 grand. If Sam Crowley said every day is Saturday, I should. Yeah, okay. Well, check this out, though. Okay? When you finally tell the boss to shove it, like I did, it goes to zero, okay? So zero times anything is still zero, all right? So don't be so quick with the trigger. Now, I know what I did, but I wouldn't wish that on anybody. You know, they'd take the pressure off, make some money, spend part-time on your dream while you're full-time at your job, and pretty soon you'll be doing full-time on your dream, just like yours truly, recording podcasts in over 100 countries around the world, making every day Saturday. Here's the Saturday story for today. Closing out a great week of how to live a life of significance. Have you been enjoying this? Hit me up on Twitter, at Sam Crowley. You know, have you been enjoying this series? You know, each week I try to come with something fresh, and I thought about this, and I thought about you, and I thought about the people who listen to the show. Because money, who cares about money? Seriously, I want money. I need money, Sam. I need money, man. Money. Yeah, okay. I got it. But like we talked about yesterday, find your purpose. And if you don't have your purpose, make it your life's purpose to find your life's purpose, okay? Because once you do that, you'll start making money. It's going to happen because you're going to put out a much better quality. I'm going to dinner tonight. It's Friday, January 31st, 2014. I'm taking all the Crowleys out to dinner after school today. My girls get home. We'll probably go to some restaurant, and I'll tell you, I'll be able to tell within 4 seconds if we're going to have a great night with the waiter or waitress, or if we're going to have a so-so night. Because either the waiter or waitress is going to be phenomenal, loving the fact that they had the opportunity to come in and serve people at their job today, or they're going to be like, oh, this job sucks. I hate it. It's just paying the bills. People, I hope nobody's seen anybody at my table. You know the difference, right? Best waiter I ever had, man. Gives me the appetizer and describes the soup. This was many years ago. I still remember the guy. Sam, I said, hey, how's the soup? He said, the soup will make your palate dance. Oh, it's going to make my palate dance. You know what? I don't even know what the name of the soup was. All I knew, I just envisioned my palate dancing. dancing. Isn't that amazing? How would you like your palate to dance? I'm all about that. So I'll know real quick tonight what we're going to have. So anyway, okay, let's get into the Saturday story. We're talking about a Wall Street trader that was making millions by the age of 30, and then he left it all behind at the age of 30. Millions. All right, so I'm going to read it. And by the way, I found this story on Yahoo Finance. So if you want to find it, I'll put a link to it on the blog as well, everydaysaturday.com/podcast. You can see it right there. By 30 years old, Sam Polk, P-O-L-K, Sam Polk had made more than $5 million in bonuses alone during 8 years working on Wall Street. As a trader, he was living it up in Manhattan. By the age of 25, able to count on a cash flow and perks that would be the envy of many. Quoted, it was an easy thing to do to go to a World Series game. Think about that. I've never been to a World Series game. For which a lot of people, it was like a dream. Yeah, you got that right, buddy. He tells us in the accompanying video, as an example, they have a video with this story. Couple the perks with the seven-figure bonuses he was on track to earn, and Polk had a tremendous feeling of importance and power, especially for a 25-year-old kid. Check that out. But at the age of 30, he abruptly decided to leave Wall Street. Despite the money Polk had been making over the years, he found himself nagged by envy. He described working at some of the banks like Bank of America, Citigroup, early in his career, on trading desks where everyone sits together and perspective goes where? Out the dough. When you sit next to someone making $10 million to your $1 or $2 million compensation, it just doesn't look so great. He went on to work at a hedge fund, and his obsession with money only got worse. He writes in the New York Times, now, working elbow to elbow with billionaires, I was a giant fireball of greed. I think about how my colleagues could buy Micronesia if they wanted to or become mayor of New York City. They didn't just have money, they had power. Power beyond getting a table at some of the best restaurants in New York City. Senators came to their offices. They were royalty. Polk describes getting angry over a $3.6 million bonus because why? It wasn't big enough. He came to believe that he personally had developed a wealth addiction. Quoted again, one of the things I came to realize was I had been using money as this thing that would quell all my fears, he explains. So I had this belief that maybe someday I would get enough money that I would no longer be scared. I would feel successful. And one of the things I learned on Wall Street was no matter how much money I made, the money was never going to do it. In the end, he writes that it was observing this absurdly wealthy bosses that helped him realize the limits of unlimited money. I was in a meeting room with one of them and a few other traders, and they were talking about the new hedge fund regulations. Most everyone on Wall Street thought they were a bad idea. But isn't it better for the system as a whole, I said. The room went quiet, and my boss shot me a withering look. I remember him saying, I don't have the brain capacity to think about the system as a whole. All I'm concerned with is how this affects our company. I felt as if I'd been punched in the gut. He was afraid of losing money despite all the money that he had. Polk says wealth addiction was a problem afflicting more on Wall Street than just him alone. He believes many people may look at inequality statistics and wonder, how is it that folks at the top that are making so much money are still focused on accumulating more for themselves? I just know from my experience that I still felt like I didn't have enough. And I was so distorted about my wealth compared to the rest of the world, I think that is a problem on a bigger scale. Now at 34, Polk runs a nonprofit called Grocery Ships, which he founded. It helps low-income families struggling with obesity to increase the amount of fruits and vegetables and other healthy foods in their diets. After writing about this story, he's had college students reach out to him for guidance. They want careers where they can support their family and achieve prestige, but where do they get any meaning from? Here's his advice. I get it. It's a tough spot. Money has helped me in the past, and it definitely helps me today, he says. At the same time, I was on a train that a lot of people stay on their whole lives. And one day, I'll have enough, I kept thinking. For me, one of the benefits working with such wealthy people was that I just saw that it was never going to happen. Think about that. Talks about the train that he was on, saying, one day I'll have enough. And then he did what? Like we talked about last week, modeling, looking at the wealthy people that he was working around. And then he said, it's never going to happen. Great story, man. I mean, I just, when you hear stories like that, it just reaffirms what we're teaching here in the Everyday Saturday community as well, is that you and people are going to be like, people that have money, like, oh, don't poo-poo money. I mean, that's just a scarcity mindset. Yeah, I get the difference, all right? I'm all about abundance. Abundance in your bank account, abundance in your relationships, abundance in your spirituality. But if you're miserable or it does not serve your purpose, why are you doing it? I mean, seriously. Because he's right. You're never going to have enough. I was talking about the hookers and blow at the beginning of this podcast. You know, when I was in my early 20s, I was a stockbroker in West Palm Beach, Florida. I moved down there in 1988. And I've talked about this a number of times on the podcast as well as in my book as well. And I went down there. I was 19, just turned 20 years old, 1988, and I was eyes wide open. I'd never been to Florida in my life. Literally, we're driving down, my buddy and I, in his Grand Am, and he had a Pontiac Grand Am. We hit, it said, welcome to Florida. We just drove through Georgia. Those of you that don't live in the U.S., so you may not get this reference, but those of you that have driven to that Georgia-Florida state line, I was like, oh, my God. I start like reaching for my shoes because I had my flip-flops off. Hey, I got to get out. He goes, dude, chill, okay? We're another 5 hours till we get to West Palm because that's where we were going, West Palm Beach. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? I said, welcome to Florida. He goes, yeah. Florida's a pretty big state there, buddy, so sit back. I'm like, oh, my God, we've been driving for 19 hours. We got another five. So I got to Florida, long story short, hooked up with this, answered an ad in the paper to be a stockbroker, passed a Series 7, which I have no idea how I did it. So we were at the presidential suite of the Royce Hotel in West Palm Beach. It was a Thursday night. I remember like it was yesterday. And I was just this dopey little 21-year-old kid. Can't remember exactly what year it was. It was my first year in the business. I don't even know if I'd turned 21 at the time. And they're like, hey, man, we're all getting together over at the Royce. I'm like, oh, cool. I don't have any money. I'm like, yeah, we'll buy a drink. We realize you never have any money. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, well, cool, because I don't have any money. I was driving a 1976 Toyota Corolla with 230,000 miles on it, 5-speed, with AM radio, no air conditioning, in Florida. That's nice, right? That's logical. I mean, sure, a lot of people have cars with no AC in South Florida. So we all drove over to the Royce Hotel, and I thought we were meeting at the bar or something, and like, yeah, no, going up to the presidential suite. I'm like, what's a presidential suite? I'm like, oh, dude, come on, Opie, let's go. So I walk up there with all these senior brokers. I mean, the $1,000 suits and the alligator shoes and all that stuff, and I've got my Docksiders, gray Docksiders that I was mowing my lawn in Bradford that summer with my gray Dockers. And I only had two shirts, a blue shirt with a white collar or a pink shirt with a white collar. Yeah, styling with a pair of gray Docksiders, gray Docksiders and gray Dockers. Nice. Yeah, I'm your neighborhood stockbroker. Would you like to invest money with that kid? So we get up, like the penthouse suite says PH, okay? It's presidential suite, but it's the same thing. And it's on the, you need your card to get in and out of the elevator with, because nobody goes to the penthouse suite unless you got the actual key to go. Like, it takes up the entire top floor. We get up to the Royce Hotel, and I'm with like all these stock, had to have been 15, 20 of us up there. And I was the brokest one by far. But it turns out, at the end of the story, I was not broke. Might have been broke monetarily, but morally and otherwise, like just my satisfaction level of life, I think I was the richest. So we get there, and it's instant party. I mean, there's hookers everywhere. The bellboy was bringing up beer from the restaurant in the cart that they carry linens in, you know, like these big carts. He's pushing. He pushes. He goes, like, oh, I'll get it, guys. Open the door. The bellboy's like, oh, hello, delivery. I'm like, what are you bringing us, dude? Towels, sheets, what's up? He's like, yeah, no. He had a sheet over it, and underneath was like three cases of beer and champagne, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm thinking, who's paying for this? One of the senior brokers was paying for it. So I'm just like, oh, my Lord, what the hell is going on? Where'd I end? Like, which one of these doesn't go with the other? You know, I'm thinking, oh, my, I don't even fit into this equation at all. So I walk into the bathroom. There's one of the senior brokers doing a line of coke on the bathroom sink. And you walk into this place, and there's hookers. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is wild. So long story short, I did have beer, and I did hang out. I think I was watching a college basketball game. I was a lot of fun back then. I was watching a college basketball game on television while all of this is going on. I'm making small talk. Me and a few other guys were there, just like a couple other of us, you know, lower on the totem pole, cold callers, you know. We're just like, hey, you believe what's going on? Yeah, what's going on? And it's like, you know, don't even say anything, you know. It's like you see something, don't say anything. So I was like, wow. I was looking around like, because then I drove home with my buddies, and we went to a bar afterwards and hung out and watched some more basketball. And like, wow, that was weird. Like, yeah, and none of the guys were happy. Like, the guys doing the coke and drinking a beer and all this other crazy nonsense that was going on, they were miserable, you know? They weren't going home to their families, weren't going home to their spouses. It was just crazy. And it hit me then when I was 20, 21 years old. Hey, look, I'm all about a good time. I'll have a good time. Don't worry about me. When I go out, I'll have a great time. But I also don't feel like I need money, prestige. I mean, my wife and kids get on me all the time for wearing the $5 sneakers at Walmart. I bought a pair of blue slip-on sneakers at Walmart when we were back at our home in Springville this year. I love them. Now, I wear them way too much. Like, I wear them every day. And I'll tell you what, man. It's the best. If a venti cappuccino at Starbucks is $5 and these are $5, let me tell you something, man. I got my money's worth for these things. It's probably the best $5 I've ever spent. And again, I don't poo-poo people that have money. It's just, how much do you need? And what do you do with it all? You know, it's like, how many yachts can you water ski behind? I love that line from Wall Street. How many yachts can you water ski behind? Charlie Sheen's dad asked him, Bud Fox's dad, you know, when he was getting greedy. And great movie, by the way, Wall Street. So the whole thing, this whole week, you know, I've wanted to challenge you to just think, you know. You don't got to make any drastic decision. Sam Crowley told me to go buy shoes at Walmart. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is live a life of significance. Give based on your purpose. What's your purpose? What is it? You know, because if your purpose is to accumulate the most money, let me tell you, right now, you're going to be the most miserable human being on the planet. I know, because I've seen it, and you see it too. You got two eyes. What do they say? Don't believe your lying eyes. Oh, no, I'm happy. I'm the CEO or I'm senior VP in charge. Blah, 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 blah. No, you're miserable. You're absolutely miserable. Don't you, the listener on the Every Day is Saturday show, be miserable. All right, I hope you had a lot of fun with this. I hope it made you think a little bit, this series. We're by no means done talking about how to live a life of significance, but this series is completed. Part 5 of 5 is today. And I really love that Sam Polk story. You can get on the blog at everydayisaturday.com/podcast, or just go to samcrowleyshow.com. It redirects there as well. And check that article out. I'll put a link to it on my Twitter feed as well. Hit me up on Twitter. Let me know how this series impacted you. I know it's 140 characters or less, but I'll retweet, favorite, write back to you, whatever it is, man. However you get inspired, because let me tell you, the month of January is over today. It just started. The new year was just here. We went ice skating New Year's Day. I can't believe February 1st is tomorrow. That's unbelievable. Longest, coldest month ever. We thought we were never going to get out of it. And now here it is. What did I tell you about the oil change sticker? Had I got my oil change January 1st, I'd be a third of the way there right now, my friends. Right? That's how fast time goes. What were you doing January 1st? And what are you doing today? Is it any different? If not, you gotta get going. You gotta get going. My name's Sam Crowley, host of the Everyday Saturday Show. Have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter @SamCrowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.